Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It's not Steve. You can tell that. It's Becky Brown, and I'm so glad that you have joined us today. And you hear Dr. Jill Hubbard, who's giggling in the background, and Dr. Jim Burns. And I'm so glad you guys are here. And we've got some great calls lined up. If you're on the if you're on hold, please hold on. And if you need to call us, give us a call, and we'll help you with whatever you're struggling with. But, you know, one of the topics that I know Dr. Jim Burns is an expert at is dealing with adult children. Because guess what, you guys, once they graduate, like high school and college, they're still yours on some level. So they don't just go away, which is really good. I mean, it can be a really great part of your life. But, you know, it can be real easy to confuse helping your adult child when you're actually enabling. And I've heard and talked to so many parents who are confused about the difference between helping and enabling. So, Jim and Jill, what would
let's just clarify adult child, because at 18, a lot of them are not adult. I'm sorry. Right?
Well, yes. They think they're adults, Jill.
They do. They think they're adults.
But they're not acting like adults. Right. That's that's what we call emerging adulthood,
emerging adulthood.
Because they're in the process of becoming an adult, and they meander toward responsibility. Sometimes they meander toward marriage, and, you know, it's an experimental season in
their life. Some people grow up faster than others.
Sure.
And we are finding a lot of kids lingering longer.
Right. And, you know, I'm an old guy, and so Kathy and I got married right out of college. I'm not suggesting people should always do that, but we had to become adults because we had bills to pay, and we were involved in youth ministry, and we had a ministry, and we had all these things. That's not the case today. So a lot of times the average person is getting married later, and they're making some choices in those years that aren't so good. And that's where it comes in with, I think, what Becky's talking about. Do we help or do we enable?
Right.
The interesting side is sometimes we enable dependency on us because we have that need.
Sure. Yes. That's absolutely true.
You know,
We have to grieve let go.
No. And, you know, part of helping them become an adult is us grieving that we are no longer needed on a day-to-day basis.
Yep. That's right.
Because I invested 2 decades of my life in you.
Exactly.
And what are you doing not needing me or not returning my call now and or not wanting my advice?
And do you know, it's hard though, Jim, because the enabling part seems so simple. I spoke with a parent the other day whose 29-year-old son still lives in their home, which is not uncommon. You hear about that. But he doesn't pay anything towards the expenses of living there.
Right.
And so that's a problem because you're creating a fantasy world. There is nowhere that's going to be replicated except for your house.
You're right. And what you're doing there is you are enabling. And when you enable a child, then they become entitled. And the bottom line for, you know, raising an adult child is to help them become a responsible adult. And they're not going to become a responsible adult if we do everything for them still. So, you know, we've been helicopter parents. We need to land the helicopter. And in doing that, it's hard for us because we want to help our kids. But there's a difference between, like you say, between help and naming. You can help, but they need to go through that process of learning how to become an adult. And you don't do that by taking care of them.
Well, and it kind of goes back to that idea. I don't know if you guys parented this way, but, you know, don't do for them what they can do for themselves.
What they need to do for themselves.
There you go. There you go. And there's lots of ways that can impact their future if they are dependent on you and you are not able to grieve their emerging adulthood. You're not creating a good future for them and you're not helping. So if this is a problem for you, give us a call. Jim's got a great book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, and I think that sometimes we need more help. If we feel stuck, if we feel like this isn't how I pictured this was going to go, you know, you're not alone. And there is help. There's hope. We're going to get to some calls after this break. We're so glad you joined us. And we'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And you know, if you are struggling with your parenting or your lack thereof for your adult sons and daughters, we have a great workshop coming up August 20th. It's a one-day online called Courageous Parents, Transforming Your Relationship with Your Sons, Adult Sons and Daughters. And you can register today. It could make every difference in your relationship. Sonny, not even good English. Maybe I need to go to English school. But, you know, we hear so many calls about this subject. And mm-hmm. I want you to know there is help. There is hope. And right now, we're going to go to a call. And we are going to go to Pam, who's calling us from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Pam. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm hoping that, first of all, I love your guys' show. You guys are great.
Thanks.
I have a 37-year-old daughter who we constantly seem to be butting heads in our conversations. I've prayed about it. You know, I keep trying to forgive. But basically, when she speaks to me, she speaks in a very condescending way, not respectful. She's rude. She's a nurse. She's highly intelligent. And I think she wants everybody to know just how intelligent she is. And it's not that she just does it with me. She does it with her brother. She does it with her sister. She does it with other people. Other nurses at the hospital call her Dr. Natalie, because she always comes across like she's smarter than everybody else. And recently we had a conversation and I asked her, I said, Natalie, please don't talk to me that way. It is very condescending and it's rude. And it's, you know, it's just totally disrespectful. And she says, well, this is the way I always talk. And it is the way she always talks. But mm-hmm. It's just, and so I don't know how to address it. And I guess my question would be, in a discussion with her, how do I pray that the Lord will change me so that I don't take it so personally. But it's very difficult. And I don't want to fight with her. And I love her, but sometimes I don't like her.
Well, and that's that's fair. No, that's fair. I think, you know, sometimes we don't talk about, there's times when mothers even hate their children, but it doesn't mean we don't love them, right?
Right.
And I think the fact that it is universal and it's not just towards you, I think that helps to maybe not personalize it. And if we look at all behavior has meaning, what is the meaning of this? Why does Natalie need to elevate herself above others? Here she's so smart. Why is she insecure in that she needs everybody to know it? Wouldn't it just be evident? And
yes.
Right? So there's something there emotionally for her where she's got to kind of puff herself up and be the one that's respected by demeaning everyone else. So I don't know if in conversation you might be able to mention something like that to her, that, you know, that you realize it's not personal towards you and that it makes you sad. And that, has she ever been curious about why she needs to elevate herself above others?
Well, and you know, Jill, yeah. What you just said, and Pam, what you said to her before, you know, you explained to her, you know, the way you speak to people is disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And what you just said, Jill, is a great lead-in. You can go back to that conversation,
sure.
Pam, and say, remember when we talked about that before? I think maybe there's some insecurity. You know that I love you, and you're so amazing at your job, but it really sounds as though you're not sure of yourself when you make yourself bigger than others or talk down to other people. But mm-hmm. I just, It's not going to be a one and done, for sure.
Right, and she's not going to like it, Pam.
No. Nope.
So this is one of those no. parenting moments where you might take a risk based on, you know, the history of the relationship to intervene. And you might ask her, you know, can I have permission to say something to you that I've observed?
That's good. Jim, what do you think?
Well, that is good.
And you know what, Pam, all of us went to your daughter. We were thinking about you, but as soon as you started explaining how she does it, really she's got an issue, and you're not responsible for that issue, frankly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so in the most loving way you can, when you share, you know what, honey, here's what I'm observing, don't do it in the heat of a battle. Mm-hmm. It's not going
right.
to work. So
right.
wait until she maybe is even in a more vulnerable moment, or you're having some coffee together and she's talking about something else and she's not, you know, going into that mode. When you bring that up, I find that my kids are that age, and I find that they're much more receptive, never in the heat of the battle, but they're receptive, you know, when I just speak to them and say, you know what, I love you so much. But again, you also want to get the help to realize by talking with people and going, you know what, this is not about you. I have a phrase, and it's not the phrase with you and your daughter, but I'll go, either I'm crazy and they're normal, or I'm normal and they're crazy. Now, that's not the case with your situation. But sometimes you go, wait, she's driving me crazy because of this, and mm-hmm. it's her issue. It's not your issue.
Right.
Now, of course it's your issue. You're the mother. You care deeply. Mm-hmm. But she mm-hmm. truly could get some help, but she's not going to get help if I don't hear you doing this. You sound like a wonderful person. I don't hear you nagging and, you know, trying to nag her into this or being all negative with her. But the way to get her is to, in her vulnerable moment, help her think through the process why she is Dr. Natalie, and let's move her, you know, towards some health.
You know, it's part of that navigating our relationships with our adult sons and daughters. So, you know, Natalie's established that she is, you know, rough to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of got to prepare yourself for those interactions. But just like Jim just said, it would be great to talk to her in those moments where there's not a problem to solve. That, you know, maybe even catching her in those moments and saying, oh, I'm so glad to hear from you. And, you know, hope your day's going well, and try to model, you know, because I'm sure that you're in a reactive stance because of what you're used to with this relationship. But I think we can be really powerful in our relationships and our reactions and our responses. Go ahead, Jill.
Oh, I don't mean to interrupt you, Becky.
No, I'm done.
Just thinking, too, this is a way she keeps everybody at arm's distance.
Right.
So
right.
it's a yeah. way she keeps, yeah. you know, kind of feigns off intimacy, really, with
yes.
people.
And
yeah. so I don't know if there are some vulnerabilities there that you know about or how she has done in relationships. Yeah. I don't. You know, but that may be some insight for you to look at. And if she even at times might mention she struggles having a relationship,
and
that's,
you know,
a good
intimacy
time.
Means
mm-hmm.
connection. So
it
she
does.
Probably, you know, you're not going to have good connections if you're, you know, being overbearing at times.
Right.
Well, I only have one other thought, Pam. I was thinking, you know, one of the ways, and I've done this with my own daughters who can be overbearing at times too, but. What I've oftentimes said is, here's what I heard you say, and I just literally go right back at what it said, and here's why I'm kind of hurt by that.
Mm.
But I think what you're trying to – are you trying to say – and then I give them a softer way to say it, and they go, yeah, yeah. So what happened – and almost all the time, they'll agree with me on that because I'm not putting them down. I'm going, are you trying to say this? And in doing that, I'm putting words into their mouth that are softer, kinder, gentler.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good approach.
And I have found that – I've actually heard one of my daughters kind of almost mimic what I just said to somebody else. And I was like, I didn't even know she was listening. Okay, so you're not always going to win on that one, but it is.
That's right.
It's a practical idea to just, mm-hmm. here's what I heard you say, and that was harsh for me, and this is why it hurt my feelings, but I don't think you really mean it. I think what you mean is this. Is that right? And that helps.
Yeah. I love that. You know, I want to send you the Life Recovery devotional. I think we need 12 steps for parents of adult children. I'm just saying. I literally, God grant me the serenity to accept uh-huh. the things I cannot change. I'm just saying. It is a new journey. It's a new chapter. And we're going to send you that, Pam. And we hope that something we said helped. We are going to go to talk to Valerie, who's calling us from LA and listens on KKLA. We're so glad you called, Valerie. How can we help you today?
My question is, how do I know when to cut ties with my family? I know you guys talk about, like, cancel culture a lot with parents, and I've really avoided doing that, but it's been a long time for me, and I really, I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, Valerie, tell us a little bit more about your situation.
My dad's an alcoholic, and he's been abusive to my mom my entire life. I'm 31, so it's been a long time. And he was drunk and hit my sister, who's 17. And she called me and thought her jaw was broken, and I went to go pick her up. And my husband called the cops when he heard her voice and what she was saying. And I've never done that before all these years, even when things got really bad. And everything turned around on us, and it's kind of like a smear campaign where we're viewed as being dangerous people and just they're calling us just horrible things, and my mom just kind of ripped into everything she really thinks about me, and I just don't ever want to see her again. I feel like I don't want anything to do with her, but I feel like I don't know how to do that.
Walk away. Valerie, this is a terrible situation. I'm so sorry that you're in the middle of it. You did do the right thing, regardless of what anybody in the family says. When you have a, this is a dysfunctional family, but I think all families have some sort of dysfunction, but it's traumatizing. Jill or Jim, how would you encourage Valerie in these next steps?
Well, Valerie, this is one of those situations where there's active ongoing abuse that is important to protect yourself from. You're right. We advocate not cutting families out. Most situations, you can have some type of relationship. And even in this situation, it's really about you having some boundaries for yourself. I don't like the term cutting them out. I think sometimes we pull back or we fade away a bit, right? We just don't engage versus making a proclamation of cutting someone out. But what's happened to you guys, you're now the scapegoat because you kind of pulled the covers off of what's happening. And if dad's this abusive alcoholic and mom is supporting him, she's part of the problem as well, even though she may at times be a victim. I am concerned, where is your 17-year-old sister now?
She's still there, and Child Protective Services got involved because my dad did go to jail for 4 days. So things got heated, and so she's not allowed to talk to me. And
is she still in high school?
She's this was her last year. She was a senior this year.
Okay,
so she'll be turning 18 next month.
Okay.
Well, is she safe, though, Valerie? That would be a concern.
Well, that's the thing, is that I don't know that she is, but she doesn't want to talk to me either through this.
She felt
kind of betrayed by me that happened, and I felt like it didn't help anyone. It kind of just made everything worse.
I thought she was
so panicked, she thought her jaw was broken. So it was horrible.
You did the right thing, Valerie. You did the right thing. I want to know if you have anybody that's supporting you. Do you have a counselor or somebody that you can process this with? Because that
I do.
This is okay. Yeah. Good. All right, Jim. You wanted
really
to say
good.
Something.
I do, Valerie. You're in a tough situation, and what you did was you put your family on notice that you're not going to allow the abuse to happen. And when you do that, the result. Is right long term. Your sister's going to be back in relationship with you. Perhaps your mother will, because this is an ongoing story. So you did the right thing and you put them on notice. And don't look at this as a forever cutout. Look at it as, you know, you're kind of lowering some expectations. Take a deep breath. You're taking a pause. There's a story that's going to continue to go, and you're not even in the, you know, the eighth chapter of a 32 chapter book. So you did the right thing.
Well, and those that are left behind have to survive, so they go back too, exactly. The same dynamic, exactly. And that's part of it.
And I think this is a reset. And for you, Valerie, it's a time for you to get some healing for your own trauma from your childhood and from this event. And I'm glad you have a counselor. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're going to send Valerie a Life Recovery Bible, and I want to encourage you, Valerie, to get into some of your own recovery work yourself. Being a child of an alcoholic changes the way that you think, and mm-hmm. this experience as well. And to find the community in the recovery community is so powerful. We can connect you with a Life Recovery group, and there's also ACOA groups, but we'll get you connected that way, and we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. You know, if you heard Valerie's story, and it made you think of something in your own life that you don't feel like you can tell because of what will happen, I just want to encourage you, do the right thing always. And get the support that you need, because it just is so important, especially if you've been victimized. So many times we just keep the secret and it just grows inside of us. We're so grateful that you called, Valerie, and we are going to go to another call, and we're going to talk to Lisa, and she's calling us from Melbourne, Florida, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Lisa. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have an emerging adult. He will be 19 next month. And he has been in a relationship for about a year and a half. She's the same age. And they are both Christians, but not walking with the Lord. And he just ended their relationship last night. And he also shared with my husband and I that he has been addicted to pornography since he was 13. Mm. So he said that, he has been, you know, trying to stay away from it, away from it for like the last 4 months, and he's done well with that. And he said he wasn't even excited anymore by that, but now he's excited by just visually seeing, you know, other women and, you know, life, so to speak. And so his feelings towards his girlfriend started changing about 4 months ago. And they're both amazing people, and there's not one reason that he can really nail down of why his feelings have changed. He was diagnosed 2 years ago with ADD. He's not on medication. And so my question is, one of his concerns is, you know, this is so painful, and it's so painful for all of us because we love this girl, and this is like painful for our whole family because she's part of our family. Sorry.
It's okay.
It is hard.
And so his concern is his heart is so broken, but he knew it's what he needed to do because he needed to be honest with his feelings. He's concerned that he may have made the wrong decision.
Okay.
I was explaining to him that one of the things he's experiencing is because they chose to be sexually active, it's a literal tearing apart of their heart because they became one in a spiritual sense.
So, Lisa, what's your question for us? How can we help you?
Yeah, so my question is, could it be that the dopamine from the pornography and the struggles with ADHD, could there be a chemical thing happening that has kind of caused this turning away?
Let's see what Jim, we'll start with you, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa, there is a chemical, something chemical goes on. You mentioned the word dopamine, and that happens when somebody's viewing pornography. It also happens when somebody's in an intimate relationship, and I call this instant intimacy. So it happens when young people are in a relationship where they're having, like, say, sexual intercourse. There's a man named Dr. Ray Short, who I love and adore. He's at the University of Wisconsin, and he says that it actually helps you well, not understand if you're in love or an infatuation, because what's going on is you're having an amazing experience, you know, physically, and you're having this, you're like high, and you can't tell if you are or not. So in some ways, the very best thing he could do, he may not even know how good this is, but the best thing he could do is take a pause, take a break from her. And I know that breaks your heart, but, you know, this is about him now, and it's not about them. And let him take a pause, and actually let him get the help that he needs for pornography. If he's trying to do it on his own, and he's been doing it, and he's only, you know, quote unquote, sober for 4 months, with probably a slip up or two, because he's not going to tell you that, maybe. Then, you know, give him the gift of, you know, every man's battle experience or whatever. Give him the tools, because long after he's not in your home, and long after he's gone, I mean, he's only 19, he's going to need those tools, because once he's had that experience, that's going to be something that can come back. So you give him the tools to help him, you know, handle that. Get him as healthy as he can be, and then, you know, let's see what happens in that relationship. And if that relationship is meant to be, then that can come back. I'm not worried about a one-day breakup, and he's already thinking about something different. But literally, get him help. Get him help on the inside. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you can do. You can give him the tools by even literally learning how to cope with the pornography and get off of that. Because that's a fake intimacy, just like instant intimacy is, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we have an online Every Man's Battle in August. And, you know, it's one day he can attend that, and it could change his life. And that would be a great start. And, you know, as a mom, I know you're connected to her, but you are going to have to grieve her loss of relationship for a time. And who knows if this is the right one for her. We're going to send you a copy of Every Man's Battle for him. And, you know, it's good, Lisa, to be concerned about this at this point, but he's got his whole life ahead of you. And I know that if he can get this under control and taken care of now, it will make all the difference in his future. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, if it's not one thing, it's another, right? That's what Steve says all the time. And so, you know, we've been talking to so many folks about some struggles, but I just want to encourage you, if you are stuck someplace in your life, whether it's a relationship or maybe it is an addiction to porn, you know, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. New Life can help you. And we want to just encourage you to give us a call or go online to newlife.com and we can help you. But right now we're going to help Sharon, who's calling us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
I have trouble. I get overwhelmed easily, and I have a hard time focusing. And like when you ask me about spiritual gifts, like I just don't even know how to answer like questions. Whenever you want to do like a gift assessment or any kind of assessment like that, I just don't know how to answer them. I've done ADD testing and like online and stuff, and I kind of fall under it.
Okay. Sharon, okay. How old are you?
I'm in my 50s.
You're in your 50s. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And have you had this problem lifelong, or was there a time when it started becoming worse?
Probably mainly lifelong.
Lifelong, where you get easily overwhelmed and have hard time focusing.
Yeah,
and
they always tell me, like if somebody's talking to me, I could be off somewhere else, or like I'll go on to a different conversation, or I could be on, like, if you ask me what I like, I could tell you like 10 different things and I can't focus on like, what do I really want to do?
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's hard for you to define yourself. It's hard for you to make decisions, right?
Yes.
And so that maybe, and it's hard for you to feel contained. So you kind of just spit it all out and let perhaps other people decide for you define you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, right. So it speaks to a number of things. One, I'm curious, and if Mylan were here, he'd be going straight to your childhood, right? Because how was the home life? Was your mother easily overwhelmed? Were things too much for you? Certainly when we experience more than we are emotionally ready to handle, that's when we become overwhelmed. And so then we learn that over time. And we can get easily flooded. There's also stuff, and this could be hereditary, but you fall under the radar maybe on ADD, but women are an underdiagnosed population, especially in your age category, because often they don't have the hyperactivity that goes with it, and so you kind of float under the radar. But there can also be processing difficulties that are also part of the picture. And when you start to go into perimenopause or menopause, everything you've ever experienced in your life is heightened. So any symptoms, people get more anxious, people can't think as clearly, they don't focus as well.
So what would you suggest, what could she do, Jill? How could Sharon get help for this?
Well, I think we often attack things from different angles. So one, you need to get in with your doctor and see where you're at in terms of your medical history and menopause and things like that. So getting your hormones checked is really important. Okay. Also starting.
I kind of think I'm past that stage.
Okay. And you may be. Okay.
Okay.
Doing the basics of life, which is our basic level of functioning is sleep, water, food, you know, those kinds of things. So making sure those things are in check for you. And then maybe it's looking at, okay, how did I learn this behavior? How was this modeled for me? And getting into some therapy to look at the earlier stuff, as well as some assertiveness training. Sometimes at different points in life, we kind of lose ourselves, and we need to redefine. Mm-hmm. So I think in the presence of a counselor, to start rediscovering and learning how to make better decisions. And sometimes we stay ambivalent because we want to ward off any loss in life, so we let other people make the decisions for us. And so coming to terms with some of those things, grieving some losses, and learning how to be more decisive could be helpful.
Yeah, that's really good. Jim, do you have anything
just,
you want to
just
add?
Real quickly, Sharon, here's good news. This is a learned trait, and you probably learned it some negative things, but you can unlearn that, and it becomes a learning process. You know what I did one time when I was kind of going through some of this? I went to the person who was a lot like me, but actually did a lot better at focus and creating healthy habits, and I said, how do you do this? And this man, he was not a pastor, he wasn't a coach, he wasn't a therapist, and I agree with all that Jill was saying. You know what he did? He said, hey, in the morning I do this, and I start with my goal, and then I move it, I realize a goal is only halfway, and then it has to become a habit, and so I just keep doing it over and over again, and I take baby steps. Now, again, I don't know, you know, these guys read these great psych books, but I'm now going to quote the movie What About Bob, right?
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Oh,
maybe it's the first time it's ever been quoted on New Life, but,
no.
You know,
the baby steps.
It's about baby steps.
It
and
is,
so, honestly, you can, I want to I want to cheer you on.
Yeah,
you can do this.
Yeah.
Take some baby steps, but learn from somebody that you around you that does this better than you. They don't have to be perfect,
right? Right.
And if they're more like you, that's even better because you know you're going to maybe be able to imitate. That's what I do. I just copy somebody else's behavior, and all of a sudden I look up and I go, wait, I did 4 steps forward, 2 steps back, 3 steps forward, and 1 step back. Hey, I made progress, and I think you can do it. You have the desire.
Baby steps are attainable. And Sharon, we're going to send you a copy of the Emotional Freedom Workbook, but I want to invite you to join us on the one-day workshop for emotional freedom because that could also be a good start. You'll get connected with people and a counselor, and I think that could be a next step for you. I'm glad you called. Our next step, it's not going to be what about Bob, it's what about Larry.
That's a big
like
question.
Tales.
Yeah. That does sound like VeggieTales.
Oh, gosh.
What do you got, Larry?
Well, I'm still plugging Every Man's Battle next week. One-day workshop online on Zoom. It's easy. There are no hurdles, guys. You don't have to travel anywhere. You don't have to worry about hotel and being in a room with anybody else. Yeah, I mean, it's just very simple. Just sign up and go spend 1 day. You don't have to take time off of work. No excuses. So you can do it. If you're embarrassed, go sit out in your car and do it from your car on your phone. We've had people do that. But get to a private place and get onto Zoom, and you can be in that workshop with us. Recent attendee to the workshop said, previous to the workshop, when I tried to confront my addiction, I went the Rambo route and always failed. I read the appropriate books, but I couldn't identify or engage with them. But in coming here and finding the community, my eyes were opened in so many ways. I understand more, I'm engaged more, I see the cycle of addiction, and I see where I am in it. I'm beginning to learn how my descent into this temptation began and why it still affects me today. However, this knowledge and understanding is why I see hope for myself and my marriage. Mm. I'm now better prepared to address my faults, shortcomings, and sins. Knowing that I have the support of my group, I feel confident in going back to my wife and repairing our relationship. I look forward to continuing to receive the support I feel from my group. I know it will help me sustain a change in me throughout my life. And that's what happens. That's what we're looking for. That's why we want to seek you support, your support if you're listening. You might not be interested in attending. I bet you know somebody who is, or maybe you've attended in the past. And we just are seeking support to continue to do this work, watching God give favor to it, see the Holy Spirit move, and people's lives are changed. That's why we seek your support, and I just ask you. And I want to say thank you to everybody who is. It's a big deal to us that you give and support and trust us in what we're doing.
I love that. You know, Larry, we hear so many times that people wish they could give more because what they've received from New Life, and of course we would say, yes, we do too, but at the same time, it could be that you haven't even given. You haven't even begun that process of supporting New Life. And you know, don't let me stop you. You know, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or you can click that donate button on newlife.com. But it really does make a difference. And I just heard a few testimonies this past weekend at our Intimacy and Marriage workshop that New Life has changed their lives. Like their family is better, their life is better, they're experiencing joy like they haven't ever before. And we love to be part of that. So we're grateful for all you've given, and we just want to stay connected with you. Thank you, Larry, all you do to help us.
Thank you, Becky. If any one of you, if Becky has stopped you from giving, please let me know. I want to talk to her.
Yeah, help me keep my job. Give some money today. No, seriously, every dollar makes a difference in the life of someone, and we're grateful.
Thank you, Becky.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I hope that you'll join us on one of those online workshops. You know, we've got like 3 of them in August, and it's the easiest way to begin your new life. And we're ready to take your registration. Just give us a call.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, so I've been a listener forever. literally forever. And I'm always so frustrated when somebody says that they can't hear the show because it's on during the middle of the day. But guess what? We have an app and you can listen anytime. So if you don't already have the app on your, I was going to say phone, but literally there are cameras and computers, but you know, those little devices that you carry around, just go to your app store and download that app for New Life. You will hear us whenever is convenient for you, as well as there's all kinds of tips and articles that you can see. And, you know, I just want you to tell somebody about New Life as well, because it could change everything in their life. Right now, we are going to go to Sandy, who's calling us from Palm Beach, Florida, and watches us on YouTube. And I'm so grateful for our YouTube family, and we see you there. Hi, Sandy. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am a longtime listener. Appreciate each one of you and the wisdom that you guys spread every day.
Great.
I have a daughter. She's 30. She struggles with addiction. She's currently in recovery. Has two beautiful children, which are not in her custody at this time. And I'm about to get on a phone call with her because she's in a treatment center right now. She relapsed probably, I would guess she started her addiction cycle probably in her teens. And I'm about to get on a phone call with her here in a few minutes, and I'm trying to be encouraging and not reactionary, which I have been historically with her.
Understandable.
And I have lost my son also to a fentanyl overdose, which she was actually in treatment at the time and then relapsed. Of course, after that loss. And, well, I shouldn't say of course, but she's a Christian. I would love to see, she's gotten counseling. She's maintained sobriety for off and on, you know, for years. But I just don't know how to best encourage her.
Well,
on the right road, basically, you know.
Right. Okay. Sandy, this has been a long haul, and I'm so sorry about the loss of your son. And then your daughter is struggling with addictions. And so she's been in and out of help. So it's not been a simple road, right? So relapsing and going back into a program, that's a good place for her. Your job as the mom of a 30-year-old who's in process is to listen, to love her, to have the boundaries for yourself in terms of what you're willing and not willing to do, but just to be there. There is no profound word that you could say that, now she gets it and now she's never going to do this again, right? Mm-hmm. And as moms, we always, it's like, well, maybe if I said it this way or I said it that way or, right? It's really just your presence of I'm here, right? You don't like her choices and her behavior, but you love her. And sometimes we just have to ask her, what do you need from me right now? How can I best ask her? How can I best support you?
Well, I'm kind of curious too, Sandy, have you done any of your own recovery work? You know, you've been surrounded by addiction, and how are you doing in your own recovery?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have. Over many, many years, my husband was an alcoholic. Basically, that was hidden from the children. And, you know, resulted in divorce. I was single for that was a 20-year marriage. Single for quite a long time after. Had just recently remarried. And I have, over many years, like I said, I've read Healing is a Choice way back when it first came out, and all the, you know, I keep up with quite a bit and do try to do my own work, and am involved with another, you know, group.
Okay. Okay. That's good. All right.
So I do have support, you know, and that's been a blessing. But you guys are so much of a support, I must say, too. even though it might seem one-sided on your end, but it really is a blessing just to hear even the callers today.
Let's see what Jim has to share to maybe get you ready for this call.
You know, even in this call, you get to encourage her, Sandy, because she's in the right place. Mm-hmm. She's recognized that recovery is a process, and she's had her ups and downs, and sometimes it takes, you know, it's a long, long time, and other times they kind of get it after a while. So maybe this is her story, and mm-hmm. your encouragement of saying, honey, you're in the exact right place, and because you're getting the help and because you've got some support, you're saying all the right things. You know, there's a phrase, and you've probably heard it in the recovery movement, but it's, you can't want it more than they want it.
Yes.
And my goodness, you know, we want it. Mm-hmm. We want her to be back in reconciliation with her kids. We want her not to be in this mess that she's, you know, kind of caused herself. But it's a mess that she's caused, and she's going to have to live with some of those kind of consequences. So by you just being that encouragement, you don't have to fix her.
Okay.
She's doing the work to get fixed, but you don't have to fix her. But she knows you love her. You know, I think the bottom line, even when adult kids have strayed and, you know, violated our values and made some poor choices, you know what their bottom line is? Mom, do you still love me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love her, that with the same type of love that God loves you, unconditional, when she knows that, that's going to carry her through some pretty tough times. And and I think she needs to be reminded, even today on that phone call, that you love her and that you're actually proud of her for being in that in recovery right now.
And I want to ask a quick question, if I could, on that. I always say, well, there is a condition to God's, not love for us, but, you know, because of Christ's death on the cross, that was the cost of our, you know, freedom.
Right.
So
right.
I always feel like the boundary thing is, you know, like the last time she relapsed several months ago, you know, I was just like, okay, that's it. I can't do anymore right now. You know, I'm out. You know, it was more reactionary, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I am still I'm still close to her children as much as I can be. But I don't know, you know, maybe I should apologize for that reaction, but I really felt helpless. Like, I often feel helpless, you know.
Well, you could say, Sandy, exactly what you just said. Is I apologize for that reaction. I felt helpless. I'm going to do better. I mean, you know, in recovery, that's what we talk about all the time. It's, you know, make amends and own your side of the street and move forward.
Right.
I think that's where your healing process is going to be, Sandy. And, you know, we're going to be praying for you as you make this phone call. We're going to send you a copy of Take Back Your Life. Because I think in the situations that you've talked about, this is going to be the process forward. We're going to pray for your daughter. And, you know, addiction is such a hard thing when it hits families. And we grieve the loss of your son and know that this is a challenging time. But I know that there is hope for you and hope for your daughter. She is in the right place, like Jim said, and, you know, it's tough. We're so glad that you joined us today, and I'm so grateful for you, Jill, and for you, Jim, and just pray for all of our listeners and the folks that have called today. We heard some really tough situations, but I know that God is with them. And if you need help, you can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com. There's lots of great resources there. And tune in next time, of course, and share the show with somebody, because you never know what somebody's struggling with that they're not telling you about. We'll be back next
time. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.